ให้ติดสมาธิให้มันนั่งสอน
ครับ
สมาธิชำนาญสมาธิรู้สึกหลงว่าที่ชำนาญสมาธิที่สุดของมันทำสมาธิให้หลับตาไม่แก่
He says, Manat is a, over to the side, there is a great teacher of samadhi, samatha practice. And he says, a lot of us in the course do samatha practice. Actually, he would be a good person to speak with. If you'd like to, in our course, if anybody'd like to send in your homework today, can you put up your sign, put up your number? Put up your number now if you have a question today. Anyone? He seems to want to know in advance how many people there are, so he knows how long to talk now. Yesterday went too long. And something about the power failure too, I'm not sure. Maybe because it's going to get hot. So none of us? Anybody? No? Okay. In summary, Buddhism isn't a philosophy. It's not something to think about. It's not something to gain information and think that we're intelligent after we've got this information, or to use to compare this and compare that. It is the study of developing one's own mind and heart to liberate from suffering, to release true freedom and the bliss of that. That this outside world has no true freedom. There's nothing that's one, there's nothing that's in the world that's equivalent to anything else. Everything is comparable, everything is opposites, everything is of a different degree than other things. The world is filled with selfishness, which is a defilement. But the mind that is totally free of the world no longer has defilements. And there will be an automatic loving kindness, metta, and compassion for the world. There'll be a feeling of loving kindness and friendship with everything and everyone and every being that doesn't require any work. It's just an automatic radiation from the heart of an enlightened being. In this world, whenever we do something, we're involved in something, we have a feeling of ownership towards that thing. Right? If we have a friend, it's like, that's my friend. And we'll be stuck to that person, or different things will be that we feel are ours. We get stuck to them, we attach to these things, and we want to control them. We want the people, we want the things to be the way we want them to be. But metta, or friendship, friendliness, loving kindness, all the same word. Has no feeling of ownership towards anything. It's the friendship is in all directions and doesn't have any bias towards this or that. We have to realize that in this world it doesn't matter what we're attached to and want, whoever it is that we love in this world, there will be a day that we're not going to be with the people that we want and the things that we want. They will leave us, or we will leave them, even if it's just in death. And we certainly can't control them. A lot of people are stuck in unwholesome thoughts and defilements. Other people are addicted to happy states, wholesome states, and others are addicted to empty states. But either way, we are attached to something, and we have to learn to have a quality mind that doesn't attach to anything anymore. Everything in the world will be things that are not attached to and will be free from, even free from our own body and our own mind. We won't even feel like the owner of these things. We have to keep practicing. This isn't philosophy, it's not something to think about. But any day that we're thinking too much, then let's do some samatha. Make the mind comfortable. Once the mind is relaxed and comfortable, then watch the body and mind working. If we're not able to do samatha, then just start with watching the body and mind working. Seeing that the mind is not us is harder, but seeing that the body is not us is not a hard thing to see. To see the mind is not us, we see by way of mental phenomena, seeing that happiness, unhappiness, good and bad states come and go and come and go. This isn't a hard thing to do because we all know what anger is like. We all know what a busy mind is like. We all know what restlessness is like, happiness, unhappiness. We know what they're like. Just from now on, whatever it is that arises in our heart, try to notice as often as we can. Now, we don't have to notice all the time. We just notice as much as we can. If we're trying to watch all the time, the mind will end up empty because we're focusing in. And that's stiff and over-focused. So let's bring the mind to see the truth that everything comes and goes, everything comes and goes. And one day the mind will accept that everything, all phenomena, come and go. Whatever it is that comes, goes. When we truly accept that, then whatever it is that happens in the world or in our life situation, we won't struggle with it. We won't get lost in liking it and liking this one and hating that. The mind will be free of all things, of the world and all phenomena, and will have the feeling of loving kindness, of friendship with everyone and every being, every animal, all on its own, automatically. It's time for the homework period. My mind is not the stable observer. And there's also over-focus. He says, you're right, you're right, you're right. Good. Says your mind doesn't want to see the truth. It just wants to be in a happy, comfortable state. The three characteristics are scary. There aren't that many people in this world that are brave enough to see the truth of their own hearts. So let's become brave and see what's right there. He's already said that this path is for those that are courageous. One of the scary truths is that this body is something that is impermanent, that it's going to disintegrate, and we're not the owner of it. We have to be very brave to be able to see that we don't get to keep anything. Just gave some examples again of the normal. Let yourself see, hear, taste, touch, and all these things, and then see what reactions occur in the heart. For example, you see one of the great good teachers here, and you want to talk to them. You know, the eyes see, and then the wanting comes up in the heart. Notice the wanting. She says that the mental, she says that she feels tightness around the chest, the center of the chest. He says all mental formations come and go at the center of the chest. See that we can't choose what feeling comes up. Feeling comes up in the chest area. We can't choose what comes up, and it goes away by itself as well. It's the fact that it comes and goes on its own is the characteristic of anatta, that it's not under our control. It's not us, not us. She says she's so tired, but still it doesn't matter how tired she is. The mind just keeps thinking and thinking and thinking. This is the only way out of that, if you want to, don't want to accept that, is samatha, to give the mind a rest. But in her case, he doesn't recommend that she does the samatha because she's too addicted to it. For those of us that are addicted to the feelings of samatha, then we should stop for a while. Lumpa loved practicing the path of wisdom once he started when he was younger, starting at 29. And for 2 years prior to that, he was just a samatha practitioner. When he started walking the path of wisdom, he totally threw away samatha practice and only walked the path of wisdom. He said he was bored of samatha. He was getting so much progress from the vipassana, he just got rid of the samatha. He said that momentum that he achieved and the energy that he achieved from 22 years of samatha allowed him to walk the path of wisdom successfully for 2 years. After those 2 years, he still thought he was watching his mind, but actually his mind was stuck in a state outside of itself. It didn't have any energy to truly watch anymore. He went to the legendary master Longdam Mahabua and said, oh, why aren't I noticing any progress? I'm watching my mind. And Longdam Mahabua said, you think you're watching your mind, but you're not really coming into the mind now. You need to practice samatha. So he went back and practiced a little samatha, and his mind was fresh again and practicing correctly again. One of our biggest diseases as human beings is wanting everything to go perfectly. It's not a characteristic of the realm of human beings. He says, as you're sending in your homework, can you see that you're trying to be sweet? See, if you don't notice that, then you're just going to be the slave of it. You're over-focusing now. Now she's worried she's going to be act too sweet, and now she's trying to be tougher and holding focus. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to pretend to be anyone that we're not. A lot of women are like that. Actually, a lot of women have this sadness in their heart and they like it. They feel like they're a movie star in a movie, you know, in a big struggle, and there's sort of a liking of their own sadness. She said, "I thought I was really sweet." He said, "No, no, no. That's you're not really this sweet. You're putting it on. You're faking it." She's basically complaining that she hates her job. This isn't what the kind of stuff he normally teaches, but at least try to have a positive, try to look at the positive attitude that you're helping the company, you're helping others at the company. Otherwise, you won't be able to get through. The Buddha taught too. Develop our minds to. Okay. The natural behavior of the mind is that it will become less and less wholesome. It'll become more negative and less wholesome if we just let it go. So let's not let the mind go and become more habitually bad, mean, lazy. The mind will move in this direction automatically if we don't work on it. So we have to force ourselves sometimes to have a positive attitude and to have more get up and go in order to think in a positive way to move the habits in the right direction. She says she feels like when she practices loving kindness that her heart is cool. He says, "No, don't say that, because the Westerners here will say that the heart is warm." She's starting her retreat. He's just saying, don't have any expectations that it's going to go well or it won't. And don't be too picky, too choosy. Just let it be how it is. Basically, everybody who goes on retreats, the first day their mind's too busy, in the middle their mind sort of works quite well, and then as you sort of approach the end of your retreat, your mind gets all busy again because you know you're leaving soon, getting excited to leave. He says he needs to do some samatha, he's out of energy.
Yeah.
He says, how do we know what to send the mic there? Nobody's even looking where the guy is. They're just throwing the mic back, hoping for the best. He's been practicing for probably about 10 years from the sound of it, since Longpa used to stay at another temple. He says he's practicing correctly. There's no problems. Keep going. But don't let the mind fall into a still place. Just keep watching the suffering. Those who have a lot of stillness will see the world as suffering. And he says he's able to watch them. He's able to watch the mind moving all the time. He says that's because you're doing correct type of samadhi. And be able to see the body and mind moving correctly and just about all day long because you have the correct type of samadhi. He says, but don't be greedy. You're starting to get greedy. Longpa is happy about his practice. He likes it. Offering his practice to as a donation to the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha, Longpa. He says he's wishing that that Longpa can live till 100 years old so he can continue to be the inspiration for us and the representative of the Buddha himself. He said, I don't understand. Only a moderate laughter. Oh, okay. He's joking about the person yesterday that he said, don't tell anybody that you're my student. Says this guy he's impressed with. He can go around and say he's my student. See? He's just talking about how this lady yesterday was wrong about her, both her theory and her practice. But Longpa isn't attached to those who don't practice correctly. He tries to teach them correctly. If they're not willing to take it or accept it, then fine, go away.
ไม่ได้ทำตามนอนนะนอนอยู่บนกิ่งไม้ปีตอนแรกไม่ให้ลุกขึ้นหรอกตอนที่สองไม่ให้ขึ้นไม่ได้ขึ้นไปอยู่กิ่งไม้สูงต้นเมตรเนี่ย ตัวนี้จริงจริงเลยเพื่อความอยู่รอดของตัวนี้เลยมันต่อไปมันก็จะพาให้ลูกขึ้นจริงมาที่สูงขึ้นเรื่อยๆโผล่ขึ้นไปโผล่ลงไปหลวงพ่อสอนพวกเราแบบไกลนะคำว่าประคบประงมไม่มีหรอกแต่ความเมตตามันมีเราต้องอดทนมากในการเรียน
Basically, he's saying if we're lazy and we're not able to get up and practice and be self-reliant, then there's nothing he can do to help us. We have to be diligent, not lazy, and practice in the right way. And those who can't keep up, then, you know, he's sorry about that, but there's nothing he can do about it.He says, don't worry, when the universe finally totally disintegrates and a new universe is born, there'll be another Buddha and you can learn with him. Maitreya, the Chinese respect of Bodhisattva, future Buddha. He says, but if we're lazy now and we build up that habit, we'll still probably be lazy then. An example of birds or chickens that basically when they have a lot of chicks, then if there's one that keeps falling behind, they try to help it at first, but if that one just keeps falling behind, they have to abandon it because at the expense of all the other chicks that are in danger. And have to slow down because of this one slow one. So out of appropriateness, out of the natural instinct, they just have to abandon that one that isn't able to keep up so that the rest of them can survive. And Longpa said that's sort of what he's like. He's trying to bring the most of us up as much as possible, but those that are lazy and they fall behind, there's nothing he can do. Says Dhamma practitioners are a little different than people in the world. People in the world that do well in life and become really confident, they end up with a big ego. But Dhamma practitioners, as they are more confident and their practice is successful, they have a smaller ego. They don't end up inflating themselves about it. Become humble. Did somebody force you to send in your homework? He says, no, I came myself. He says, oh, I thought somebody is making you do this. She's seeing the mind as it is, but she doesn't see phenomena disappearing. But she has seen things in her body and mind as if it's somebody else seeing them. Keep practicing and you'll start seeing disappearing. In fact, you'll see things falling away faster than you'll see things arising. You won't even know what it was that arose, but you'll see it fall away. In the beginning, you start seeing things arising, but that's not really vipassana yet. Vipassana is when you see it arise, stays, and falls away. But she is developing much better. She's able to separate the aggregates. She can't practice meditation for very long. He says, that's no problem. You think too much. It's okay. You're not the type to sit for long periods. She thanked him after, and he said, you see that? I told her that she can't do meditation very well, and she thanked me. She's happy. She doesn't have to do it. Those who can't do deep meditation are much better at watching the mind and heart and the happiness, unhappiness, goodness, badness that arise in the heart. Because people that practice samatha really well aren't very good at watching their minds because their mind is too still. So what they should do, their mind is really still when they come out of meditation. They can't really see their heart very well, so they should watch their mind and watch their body. The exception is there are some amazing people that are able to practice vipassana inside of deep meditation. There's a very small number, a vast minority that is able to do that. Can you see that your mind is different this year than last year? She says, I think my mind is more busy than it was last year. He says, that's not a problem, but can you see that the busyness of mind and the mind itself that sees this is a different thing? The body and mind are two different things. She says, I think I can see that sometimes. He says, you're better at watching the body than the heart. So watch the body often, watch the body working, and the mind is the watcher. We'll see that the mind is impermanent. One moment it's watching the body, the next moment it's lost in thought, and the next moment it's over-focusing on the body. She's not holding the mind still anymore, he says, so she's doing fine. 125? Is that any of us that put up our hands? Put up your hand if you're 125. No? Okay. Notice people whose faces have that are good at meditation and those that aren't. Their mind, their face shines differently, and those that have a heart with wisdom and those that don't have wisdom, their faces are different. She says, am I practicing correctly? He says, yeah, you're doing fine. She says, but aren't I focusing? He says, yes, you are, but you know that you are. Mm-hmm. Be brave, though. Be brave to know. Don't try to hold the mind in any state. Be brave to let it go. Be brave to let the mind not be good all the time. Let it move. And then watch it. It's changing. If we're brave, then we won't be stuck in focusing. Our mind doesn't have to be good. It can have defilements. Just don't break the moral codes. Make sure that you guard your mouth and body so that you don't harm others with your words or actions. But allow the mind to feel whatever it feels. It's much better than just holding the mind still. But holding the mind still is better than just having a mind filled with defilements and not practicing at all. That we go that in that way we can go to hell. So let the mind free, let it work, and follow the workings with our mindfulness. We don't have to know or be aware all the time. We don't have to be good all the time. He's concerned that she wasn't able to really listen to what he was saying because her mind was too nervous and busy. So she's asking the parents to remind her what he said. He's teaching her father now. He says, your mind is sent out. Can you see that? He said, yes, I can see that. He says, good. Then you're practicing correctly if you can see it. You're starting to get greedy now. Her first time. She's been practicing 6 months. Her first time sending in her homework. And he says she's doing fine. Basically, she's hearing and seeing sort of mystical kind of things. He said, never mind that, just whatever it is that happens. What is the reaction in the heart? See that. For liking it, disliking it. No, so. Says some places they send the microphone back and then the microphone magically disappears. Must be a really high quality microphone. Ours is an old one, so it manages to stay. Lumpa taught him to chant, but he didn't believe that that's what he should do. So he just kept breathing like he used to do. The mind be empty and still for long periods of time, with joy, about 2 years. But he changed to chanting. But he's seeing now that when he was keeping the mind in a nice, peaceful place, he wasn't able to see his defilements. And now he realizes that he has very thick, heavy defilements. So he's saying, good, that's correct. Now you're practicing in the correct way. Now your samadhi is the correct type of samadhi, where there's a comfort and a peace, but it's a peace in watching and seeing the mental and physical phenomena, and it's not holding to watching. So sometimes it's off busy thinking and it isn't the watcher. See, everyone? Listen to what I say, practice it. I'm not speaking I'm not just guessing here and telling you what to do. Don't be stubborn. Okay, so we're done. We're invited to go home now. He says that our course, we look a lot better today than we did at the beginning. Everybody's happy you're going to get to go home, probably. When we started off, our hearts were locked and still in the center, but we look a lot more relaxed now and comfortable now. Don't stop practicing samatha or meditation. We still practice it, but just practice what he says too. Allow the heart and mind to be ordinary, normal, see things, hear things, smell things, taste things, and see the reactions in our heart to what happens. And then when we're tired and need some energy, then we practice our meditation.